We live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity.
That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive. The Word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity. Hallelujah. Oh boy, Lekoba. Listen, in the next 1 year, you can't recognize this ministry. You can't. No. You, when we tell you that this was where we were as of July 2021, when you tell someone who has not been here, they'll tell you, no, don't lie. I know you're a Christian. But Kai, don't lie, don't lie, don't lie. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. Things are cooking, and the world is not even aware of what is about to hit it. I assure you. It's the same testimony with you. Oh, am I talking to someone? I say it's the same testimony with you. I speak by the Spirit. By this time next year, if you tell people, look, at July 2021, this is where I was. And you show them pictures, you show them videos, you show them your bank accounts. They'll say, come on now, are you lying to me? They'll say, come on now, are you telling me the truth? Can God drastically transform a life, a home, a family, a business, a ministry, a career? Come on, somebody, am I talking to you? Say you are talking about me. Say, yes, Lord. Pastor is talking about me tonight. Oh, glory! Listen, because for us, by the Spirit, the tectonic plates are shifting. I said the tectonic plates are shifting. We are coming on in new horizons, new glory, new dimensions. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord has laid help upon us. He has laid help upon us. Oh, I'm speaking by the Spirit. They'll look at you July 2022, a year from now, and you don't look like nothing like the way you are looking tonight, because something is happening. Because after tonight, as I'm talking already, the shiftings are happening. In the name of Jesus, in your life, the shiftings are happening. In your family, the shiftings are happening. In your business and career, the shiftings are happening. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Woo, glory! Oh, thank you, Lord. Levru panika sumetolaba. How many of you have your heart resonating with the things I'm saying? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Help me welcome your neighbors on your left and your right. You can leave your seat and walk around. Actually, tell them it's multiplied grace and quantum leaps. I can see it. I don't know about you, but I can see it. I can see it. I can see it. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No. By this time next year, you can't recognize us. No, you can't. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. Maximizing the second half of the year. Hallelujah. All right, we're in the last 6 months of the year. We call it the second half of the year. And I began to share with you certain thoughts last week, Tuesday. Just get your notes ready, your Bibles ready, and your hearts ready. Amen. You should listen when the word is being taught. You should write. Especially striking thoughts. Amen. Hallelujah. It's very important. It helps you interact with what is being shared. Very important. Praise God. You're not wiser than God. Okay, he says, write a vision, right? Make it plain that they may run that readeth it, King James says. That read it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you should write key points. At the same time, you shouldn't get distracted from hearing what is being said by taking notes, by writing every word. Okay, you shouldn't do that. you pay attention, but striking thoughts should be written down. Okay, all the things I tell you to write. Praise God. So we began to share last week that when the second half of the year, God has spoken to us personally as a people, as a ministry. And the first half of the year is gone. The second half is here. There were things the Lord told you concerning you, your walk with Him, your business, your finances, your mind, your personality, your family, concerning different areas. Are we together? There are things the Lord has told you. And when the second half of the year, I'm hoping that before the end of the year, things will change, is not good enough. And we added that hope is not a strategy. Amen. I heard it from a dear man of God years ago and he blessed me. Hope is not a strategy. How true that is. Someone said, well, as time goes on, things will be different. If you have lived old enough, you should know that time doesn't change things. Rather, because of the operation of the law of sin and death, time corrupts things. Amen. Have you noticed that? They say from the womb to the tomb. Okay, for those in the world. In those days, there was that short video of a child who was born as he was crying. He was flying in the air. He was growing old and boom, he landed in his casket and died. I don't know how many of you ever saw that. That should be 5, 6, 7 years ago. Hallelujah. Praise God. That is to show you what happens on the earth except an external force act. Okay? Except a supernatural force act. So things don't change with time. Things change with the application of truth. Things change with what? With the application of truth. There has to be the knowledge of wisdom from God, and there has to be the law of intention. Praise God. Very important. Very important. There has to be the knowledge of wisdom from God. That's truth. And there has to be intention, the law of intention, what you want and how to get it on. We read Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 15. You can put it up. I believe that's where we'll begin from tonight. I told you to see every time block, a new month, a new week, a new year, a new quarter, like entering into a city, okay? And there's a way to enter into the city. There's a way to enter into a new season. He says, the labor of the foolish wearies every one of them because they don't know how. Because they knoweth not how to go into the city. Translation says to enter into the city. That means there's a way to enter into every season. Praise God. There's a way to enter into every time block. That's what we're saying. We're already in July. Maybe I should have taken this teaching in June. But you're already here. Well, you can still maximize the things you are hearing and that you hear. But the point is, there's a way to enter into the second half of this year. We had the first 7 days fasting and prayer. That is wisdom. For those who join, in fact, there are mighty testimonies from the praying and fasting already pouring in. Praise God. Hallelujah. And there are more testimonies breaking forth. Glory to God forevermore. Using that as an example, that's how to enter into the second half of the year. Speaking words, having your spirit positioned to see what God is showing, receiving strategies from heaven. So that was good. What we did was good for those who participated. Hallelujah. There's a way to enter into the season, and that is wisdom. That is wisdom. Hallelujah. So the first thing to do, we said, was to evaluate your journey so far. Evaluate 2021 so far. Evaluate your 2021 journey so far. How many of you remember that? All right. We said anything that is flying has a tendency of going off course. So feedbacks and evaluation are very important. You are journeying through the air. Okay. And anything that moves can actually go off course. That is what pilots do in the cockpit. Maintaining the bearing. Praise God. So that's the first thing. How many of you were able to evaluate your journey so far for 2021? How many of you were able to do that? Let me see your hand practically now. You've been able to evaluate your journey so far. Okay, what happened in the first half? That's beautiful. Praise God. All right. We said you should do this for 3 reasons. Number one, for thanksgiving and gratitude. Because if you can think well, you can thank well. Because if you truly sit down to evaluate the first half of the year, you have reasons to give thanks. And that is the beginning of this our teaching journey. You have reasons to give thanks. Complaining will never increase you. Complaining will never position you for what you are set to accomplish in the second half of the year. So the first reason for the evaluation is to have reasons to thank God, reasons to be grateful. If you pay attention, if you truly sit down to evaluate, you'll find your 5 loaves and 2 fish. What do you do? Are you going to be like Philip or like Jesus? What did Philip say? What is this among so many? That was Philip or Nathaniel? That should be Philip. What is this? Sorry, Nathaniel. What is this? John 6. You can check it and let me know. What is this among so many? He had a little boy's lunch. He says, what is this among so many? There are two kinds of Christians. Those in this context, those on that disciple side and those on Jesus' side. Jesus took the same thing. They said, what is this among so many? What did he do? He lifted it up in thanksgiving. The Bible says he gave thanks and broke it and gave it to the disciple to give to the people. And guess what? As they were in action, the bread multiplied, the fish multiplied. But at the root of that multiplication was an attitude of thanksgiving. Yes. And we're not saying it theoretically. You have to think and come up with your own reasons for gratitude. Are we together? What are you grateful for? Sunday is media thanksgiving. What are you grateful for? It's real. What are you grateful for? If you can think well, you will find your 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is the foundation for preparing for the second half of the year, or for maximizing the second half of the year. So as you evaluate, you find reasons to give thanks. You lift the 5 loaves and 2 fish and give God thanks, and you watch multiplication. It says, out of them shall proceed what? Thanksgiving. And the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be... I will multiply them, and they shall not be small, right? I will glorify them, and... They shall not be few. I will glorify them, they shall not be small. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's Jeremiah 30, verse 19. Glory to God. Second reason to evaluate is to identify what you didn't do well, what you didn't do or say right. Okay? And also what you got right in the first half of the year. What did you get right? You can scale it. Amen? There were things you did right. There were things you got right. You can consolidate. Very important. You know, sometimes, maybe doing certain things right, but because of the outward manifestations that haven't happened before, that have not happened yet, you may get discouraged and forget the things you're doing right or saying right. And that is not wisdom. This is part of the reasons we evaluate. So what did you do right in the first half of the year? You can scale it. What did you get right? You can consolidate. And then what were the things you didn't do right? Or you didn't get right? You now make adjustment. And that's the third thing. To our certain areas of adjustment and focus. So number two will lead to number three now. After the evaluation. Okay, you know which areas you are going to adjust and which areas you're going to focus on. That's the third thing. Are we together? All right, let's jump to number two. The second thing to do is to create white spaces around your life. Write it down. Create white spaces around your life. That is unclogging your time, your mind from unnecessary engagement, activities, entanglement, so you can focus on the serious matters. Look up at me, everyone. You see, sometimes it's not about more time, more resources that you have to start with. You know, when you ask someone, okay, how are you going to accomplish your dream this year? They say, well, I need more resources. I wish I could have more time. I wish I could have better relationships to help me. I wish I could have better opportunities. That's not really what to start with. The question you should ask yourself is, what can I remove from my life to create space for effectiveness? What is eating up my time? What is eating up my mind? We call it unclogging. We call it creating white spaces. And this is very practical. So you are not starting with, well, I need more time. What am I doing with my average, with my 24 hours on an average day? What do I do with my 24 hours? What do I do with my mind? What do I do with the resources that regularly come into my hand? You create white spaces. Some of you will be shocked. If you regulate your phone time, you'll be shocked at how much time you have for personal development. You'll be shocked at how much time you have to get trained in the area you're interested in. You are saying, I wish I had time, I would have picked this course. Newsflash, you have time. Sit down and create white spaces. Am I talking to someone? This is what you must do tonight. This action plan for this number two is not tomorrow, it's this night. What are the areas that you need to unclog? How can you create white spaces? I was telling my wife recently that there was a year I deleted some apps from my phone and I made it difficult to access some other apps. Amen. And I mean, things literally flipped. You'll be more effective. Suddenly you discover that you have time. You have time. You are not thinking, okay, what do I use this time to do? Of course, you knew why you created the time, so you are not going to clog it back. Amen. You have time to channel on more productive stuff. You have time to focus on the things that are most important. Creating white spaces. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. You remove them. Phone time, gist time, comedy kids time, movie time, video game time, unhealthy relationship time. Are we together? It will give you breathing space. And it will increase your creativity, innovation, and production. I assure you. You see, once you unclog, you enter into a new zone of creativity, a new zone of innovation. Because there is space with your time, there's space with your mind. You know the areas where you have unhealthy addiction. And when I say addiction, I'm not talking about drugs, pornography, or coke. You understand? Don't think about it. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the things that look harmless, but you are addicted to. Do you understand? That are affecting your time currently and your mind space currently. That's what I'm talking about. Do you understand? It's not alcohol I'm talking about in this context. Amen. What are the things that are eating your mind? I'm talking to some of you. There are things that are eating your mind space, that are eating your time. And you have to sit and have a conference with yourself. Look, if this continues in the next 1-2 years, I'll be behind schedule. You have to talk to yourself. Well, the context of our discussion is second half of the year, right? But it's beyond the second half of the year. Unclogging, creating white spaces. Glory to God forevermore. You can drop your phone while working. You can regulate your phone use while at work. You can schedule your day for your assignment or the job at hand. Are you here? Very important. Personal development, being at the center of it, being at the top of it actually. In Hebrews 10 verse 19, it says, he takes away the first that he may establish the second. I think that's one scripture that shows you that creating white spaces helps bring new things into your space. Did you get that? Hebrews 10 9. He takes away the first that he might bring in, that he may establish the second. That means there are things that must leave for other things to be established. That means some of the things you are praying and shouting for, if you delete your Instagram for 3 months, Pego Baratosa, you will make progress. Are you here? If you change your number for 6 months, hi, I'm teaching you bad things, Abi. Good things. You have a new number only for family and close friends. And have a business number, of course. If you're a business person, you should have a business number. Amen. But see, the higher you go, the more need to give your business number to somebody to be holding it. And you pay them for that thing they carry out for you. Are we together? Maybe an executive assistant or something. So you can unclog. Because I've told you before, you have to work harder on yourself than on your job. Until you improve, your income cannot improve. You'll be rigmaroling around the same thing. Your impact cannot change. So the most important factor in that business is you. When there is no time in the name of I'm selling, my shop has to be open, people have to call in. The more you do that, the more you remain in the same zone. You want to shift? There are things you must do differently. Listen, you can't move into certain zones doing things the way you were doing it before. No, it's part of this unclogging I'm talking about. No, it's not possible. In fact, the impact may not show immediately, but with time, it will show. It will show. One of the ways it will show is in your energy to carry bigger things. When you have created white spaces and you are now making strategic investment in the things that matter, it may not show immediately, but suddenly you get to a place where you notice you can now carry 100 kg. You can now carry 1,000 kg. Amen. Before you were doing 20, your capacity has increased. Suddenly there's a faith to carry bigger things. Why? You have increased on the inside. And you could increase because you created white spaces. So the impact may not even show immediately. But over time, you notice that, you can do this. And then you step out and get it done. Are we together? So you say it takes away the first time, he may establish the second. Psalm 90 verse 12. That's the one I really wanted to get right now. Create wide spaces and schedule your day for your assignment and the job at hand. Personal development being at the top of it. Psalm 90 verse 12. Is it teach us to number our days that we may incline our heart to wisdom? Give me NIV. Give me NIV. NIV. No NIV. How did I miss this? Let me check. It says, teach us to schedule our day. There's a translation. It says, teach us to schedule our day that we may incline our heart to wisdom. That means your mind opens to the flow of wisdom when your day is scheduled. Write it down. Your mind opens to the flow of wisdom when your day is scheduled. We're talking about unclogging, creating white spaces. If you don't schedule your day, other people will schedule it for you. Other activities will come for you. Are you here? Are you still here? Most times when people waste time and waste opportunities, it's as a result of this lack of... Listen, what you don't plan for, there are many things in life that will take it. This is one of the ways you fight for your time. Schedule. He said, teach us to schedule. So the context is not saying numbering our days. Life on netto. Somebody may just live for 50 years or 60 years. Lord, help me. No. He's talking about scheduling your day. That's what the Hebrew word means. It means to plan your day. Don't wake up in the morning, jump out of your bed, run out and start doing activities without having a mental picture of how your day should go. We'll call it a to-do list. Hope you know billionaires have to-do list. Millionaires in dollars have to-do list. Are you here? Successful people have to-do list. It's part of scheduling your day. Once it's scheduled, the things that don't fit into the schedule, you exclude them. Once you schedule, it becomes like a strategy map for the day. Are you guys with me? As you begin to do this, you will have time to focus on the things that matter. Schedule your day. In fact, when you begin to do this, you begin to catch yourself on your phone. You say, no. You'll be catching yourself. It will now be more conscious. Do you understand? Before it was an unconscious, you were sleeping. You were in the sleeping stage. Amen. When they teach mastery, you remember? You're in the sleeping stage. You don't even know. You are not aware. Unconscious ignorance. Then you now go to conscious ignorance. You now go to conscious competence. Then what? Unconscious competence. Sorry. They call it competence. Unconscious incompetence. Conscious incompetence. So at that level of unconscious incompetence, you are sleepy. You don't even know how much you are wasting, how much time and resources you are wasting, and you don't care. But now you know. Amen. Once you're scared, you now know how much time, phone time should I have per day? How much gist time should I have per day? How much family time should I have per day? And for family, it is quality time, not quantity time. That you give your wife 7 days every day, you must be foolish. 7 hours, sorry, every day. And they are calling you darling, they are rubbing your head. Water, when the rubber hits the road, you will be called a useless man, if you don't know. Amen. They really don't want to see you that much. You see, what's important is let the time spent. I'm not saying you should not spend time. Spend time. Let the time spent be valuable. Are we together? And for those of you in relationships, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Don't be lazy people in your relationship. Is useless. Do you understand? When lazy people are in relationship, is sad. Is sad. Praise God. You know what lazy means? Mentally lazy, physically lazy. There's an excuse. I don't have a job yet. There's something. I just go out somewhere, spend 3 hours or 4 hours, and come back home. Sweetheart, are you around? I got this movie I want us to watch. And that happens 3 times a week. You are in trouble. Life is moving fast. Do you understand? Fast. Praise God. Do you still like me? Someone is like, are you spoiling my... I spoiled it already. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Schedule your day. It's a teacher to schedule a day that will incline our heart to wisdom. I love this. Your mind opens up to the flow of wisdom when your day is scheduled. You can try it. You can try it. You can try it. There's something about that. Number 3. Focus on routines. Focus on the routines that are relevant to your vision stroke goals. Write that down somewhere. Focus on the routines. Maximizing the second half of the year. I'm just sharing timeless truths with you. Focus on the routines that have great bearing on your goals, that are relevant to your goals and vision. Listen, life produces by compound effect. That means to master routine is to truly win. To master routines is to win. John Maxwell says that success, the secret of success is hidden in your daily routines, right? Have you ever heard that before? That means things that pay tribute to your goals, you focus on them. This is so powerful. Do you know when they teach performance, even in corporate organizations, they tell you that very successful and high performers are those who have mastered relevant routines. In fact, there's this triangle. They tell you that 60% of your time, about 60% should be spent on routines. About 25 or 20-something percent is spent on projects. Then the rest is spent on planning. Rest is small, about 15% or so is spent on planning. What does that tell you? In fact, they'll tell you that normal people have it reversed. They spend 60% on projects. That means you are caught in what you call activity trap. Activity trap. Activity trap. And see, someone who is consistent in doing relevant things daily will always be more successful than someone who hits at once and goes to rest. Life produces by compound effect. Never forget that. It is scriptural. It produces by compound effect. Things compound. We read the scripture on Sunday. Maybe we should read it since we're talking about routines, the power of routines. This is very important. Catch this. What are the things that have bearing on your goals for the second half of the year? Prayer is one of them. You have to build routine around it. Meditation is another thing. You have to build routine around it. You know what the other things are for you? Reading and hearing God's word. I'm giving you from a pastor's perspective. It could be daily input on leadership material. You know, there was the day I heard, was it Bishop Abiwi? He says every day before he sleeps, he interfaces with 30 minutes of leadership material every day. You'll be like, oh, just 30 minutes. But watch this. When you put 30 minutes in a week, you have 3.5 hours. Am I right? When you pull that up in a month, you have 15 hours of gleaning leadership knowledge in a month. Just silently. It doesn't look so serious. 15 minutes every day. He must read the material, listen to something on leadership before he sleeps. 15 minutes. So in a month, he has 15 hours. Do you know what 15 hours means of gleaning knowledge about a subject? It means in 3 to 5 years, you have a PhD in that subject. You'll be an authority in that subject. But you see, it's 15 minutes. An average person will say 15 minutes. That's not much. If you read a chapter of a book every day, in 1 month, you have read 30 chapters of a book. Now, if the book is 15 chapters, you have read 2 books. The power of compound effect. Successful people spend 60% of their time, more than 60% actually of their time, on routines. On relevant routines. So don't say I cut my nails every 3 o'clock in the morning. That's irrelevant routine. Irrelevant routine. So you understand the context of routine we're talking about? I told you routines that have bearing on your goals, on your vision. This is what we are not assuming. Research, years of research has been put into this. So it's a fact. It's a fact. In Acts chapter 10, we read about Cornelius, a devout man. In fact, that word alone, devout man, communicate routine, communicate a regimen on routine. He communicates constancy, frequency, consistency. He says Cornelius, who was a centurion, he was a devout man, and that already shows you his commitment to routine. But that's not even what I wanted to see. He gave, one who feared God with all his house, and gave alms to the poor, and pray to God always. As you read further, you will see that praying to God always was structured. In fact, you don't even need to see it here to believe it. When you read the Bible, both Old and New Testament, you know they had prayer structures. They had hour of prayer, the third watch, the sixth watch, the ninth watch. Have it together. They had prayer time. Very important. It was structured. Have you noticed in your Bible that a lot of things happened in the time of the evening sacrifice? From the days of Elijah to the days of Daniel to the New Testament. Have you noticed? In the time of the evening sacrifice. Even in Acts 3, when Peter and John were going to the temple in the hour of prayer, which was the ninth hour, and the God of crippled man healed, you know what the ninth hour is? That time of the evening sacrifice in the Old Testament. My point is, his prayer was scheduled and it was a routine. He said he prayed to God always. So that always there is not sporadic. No. It's not irregular. No. Look at the next verse. Go to Acts 10 now, verse 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day. What is the ninth hour of the day? Talk to me, somebody. I just explained to you. What's the ninth hour of the day? The time of the evening sacrifice. The time of prayer. It was the time of prayer. But an angel of God coming unto him and saying unto him, Cornelius. He saw an angel in the time of prayer. And when he looked up unto him, he was afraid and said, what is it, my Lord? He said unto him, thy prayers and thine arms are come up for me, Korabeda Siata, for a memorial before God. They have risen as a monument, but he didn't build it in one day. Now, this is the power of routine. Life does not send you a memo to inform you the date of your big day, but your consistency at routine will position you so you don't miss that day. Oh, imagine if, am I talking tonight? Imagine if Cornelius was not at the place of prayer that evening. He would have missed an encounter of the God kind. This is why you must come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Tuesday rather. Sorry. Don't say I came to church last week. No. 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 And truly, beyond the Bible, that's why I use the word, life doesn't send you memo. Beyond the Bible, there's something about staying consistently at the things you do at the time you have to do them. This is where big things meet you in life. This is where big things meet you. You'll be found there. And life meets you there with the big day. Life meets you there with the big day. That means the real commitment, Kai. The real commitment in life is in basically two things. Thinking, which is number four. I'm going to go there. Thinking and sticking to routine. If you master these two things, you'll be a master in life. Sticking to relevant routine and mastering the art of meditation, you'll be a master. You'll be a master. Hallelujah. There's power in routine. Are you aware that your current literacy was at the mercy of routine? Have you thought about it? Was at the mercy of routine? Of routine. You went to school at a particular time. You finished a particular term. You began another one. So from tonight, we say, first action plan, white spaces, right? Second action plan, what are your relevant routines for achieving the goals you see? Financial goal, you want to make your first 50 million, 100 million, or some is 10 million. Financial goal, you want to move your business to this particular level. You want to move your ministry, those watching online, you're a pastor. You want to move the church to this particular level. What are the relevant routines that you must stick with? That it will test your discipline. It will test your self-discipline. It sure will. But the beautiful thing is, we are creatures of habit, right? Once you start and you do it consistently, it becomes a part of you. In fact, you feel uncomfortable when you don't do it. Hallelujah. So things like your daily prayers, reading of the word, hearing the word, gleaning relevant knowledge in your field, meeting with whoever you need to meet with, okay, interfacing with your spouse the way you have planned it, okay. If you tell yourself every morning I must kiss my wife or peck my wife, amen, hug my children, that practical, do you understand? Are we together? That's family life. Praise God. That means it doesn't matter if they are boning, you peck them and go, amen. We come again tomorrow, amen. We are here. Praise God. That means for your children, it doesn't matter what they have done. You hug them. Are we together? And speak the right words on them. Very important. Until it becomes a part of you. Until it becomes a part of you. Gleaning relevant knowledge in your field. What's your daily schedule? Okay. You can, like I gave example of Bishop Abiy, you can do 30 minutes every day. If you do 1 hour every day on a subject, in 1 month you've done 30 hours. 30 hours. Why would you be small? Amen. And knowledge affects income. Learning affects earning. The problem has been commitment to relevant routines. Relevant routines. You declutter, that's the first thing. You review, that's the first thing. You create white spaces, that's the second thing. Number three, you establish these routines. Praise God. Are you blessed tonight? I'm sure you love me already. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Glory, 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 glory to God forevermore. All right, let's jump to number four. So I'll just wrap up this thing today. I have more to say around routine. But I'm sure you got a point. Okay. As a relevant knowledge in your area, meditation, retreats are part of good routine. It's okay, routine is once in a while. You can routinize it. Don't mind my English, quote and unquote. Do you understand? That means if you say, okay, every month I take 2 days out on retreat, that becomes a routine. Did you get me? You can't go on retreat every day. That's why it's called retreat. But see, you can make it into a monthly routine. Did you get that? Into a monthly routine where you retreat to think, to pray. When I talk about meditation, I'll tell you something that I wrote. Maybe let me drop it for you before I go to number four. Number four is meditation on your goals for the second half. Meditation on your goals for the second half. Like I say, it applies to any time block you want to maximize. Okay? Write this down or listen to me first. You want your life to amount to something serious, you will learn to spend a lot of time alone. Let me say this to you again. You know, this thing came from our meditation. You want your life to amount to something serious, you will learn to spend a lot, you underline a lot of time alone. And now this is beyond prayer. I'm not saying a time alone to pray. No, it could be a part of it. It could be a part of it. This is beyond prayer. Prayer is a part of it. And by the way, this is not about I want my space as an excuse to live an unaccountable life. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, there are people like that. I want my space. They are not related with people, and they are addicted to funny things. I mean, unaccountable. That's not what I'm talking about. You should have friends, okay, who can challenge you when you do something wrong. Praise God. Who are in your space that give authority to over your life, to whom you are accountable to. Let me put it that way. Praise God. So you should have friends that can tell you, guy, you are wasting money. Okay, you are extravagant. Okay, we know God has blessed you, but is this one necessary? Amen. Are we together? That can tell you the truth. A lady should not multi-date and she doesn't have a friend that can warn her. Or a young man is dating multiple people and he doesn't have a friend that can say, bros, this thy path is a dangerous path. Amen. In King James language, praise God. Sometimes when I look at people's lives and the things they do, that's the question I ask. This guy or this lady is not accountable. He's not accountable. I know it's a digression, but it should bless you. You know that, look, this person is not accountable. He's not accountable upward. He's not accountable sideways. Because there are levels of accountable. He's not accountable downward. You should be accountable upward to mentors, your pastor, your leader. You should be accountable sideways. That means there are people who are friends that you are accountable to. Are you accountable to? Why are you coming from at this time? Maybe when you are still single, amen. Praise God. Somebody say, pastor, in the 21st century, okay, now, design your life and see what it will produce in the next 5 years. Complex stress. Do you know there is a season in your life, especially for those of you who are young, there's a season in your life that you should never live alone. Have I ever told you that? You shouldn't live alone. It doesn't matter how rich you are. You should have people living with you. At least one or two persons living with you. You minimize your stress. It's healthy. Have it together. You know, I'm trying to issue a disclaimer from that spending a lot of time alone. There are seasons you must not be alone. That's as far as habitation is concerned, as far as living is concerned. You should have somebody living with you. Not because you can afford to live alone. It's not about money. It's about sense. Are we together? In fact, there are things you learn living with people. Now, let me even give you something practical. There are people who lived alone until they got married and ran into trouble. Because they didn't learn the basic things they should have learned living with a friend. Are we together now? Just living with your friend will teach you sense. By the time you clash, different personalities, you learn something about social skill, about people skill. Am I talking about relational skill at a close level? It's not when you get married. That's the first time you start living with someone. And we'll see all kinds of things happening because people miss that opportunity. Am I talking? There's a time you must live with someone. Pay the bills and let the person stay with you. Are you here? You learn a thing or two. Or two. Am I talking? Somebody is blessed. You learn a thing or two. You like your cup placed in a particular position. And then here comes this guy. Or this babe who calls himself your flatmate. He's in the other pole. As he's coming, his shoes are in the center of the sitting room. Just kick your shoe. In fact, your own shoe is there. You are wondering how he got there. Some of us have been there. Amen. But you see, it will help enlarge your heart. It will help you be patient with people. All this 21st century, I want to live alone. Nonsense. How old are you? You are 20. You are 18. You want to start living alone. And you have 7 years to get married. Live alone for 7 years. First time you are living with someone is your spouse. Why wouldn't there be a problem? You now say, as simple as this sounds, it contributes to some of the divorce we have in the world today. Because people are not used to people invading their spaces. Because the world is getting more selfish. When the Bible teaches perilous time in the end time, do you know what it says? You know the reason he gave? He said, for men shall be lovers of themselves. Is self-love? Yeah. This is your self-love you are protecting. An extreme version. Oh, am I talking tonight? An extreme version of it. Self-love. Calm down. Calm down. Life is bigger than what you are told on social media. Life is deeper than what the social media influencer told you. Praise God. People will invade your space. You will learn how to love. You learn how to be tolerant. You learn how to accommodate people. You learn how to be patient with people until they change. And only time will tell how much that thing is building in you. You discover that after seasons like that, you become a leader. When you go to places, you can lead people. You can help people. These things were part of my making. Amen. You know, I think Pastor G visited me when I was in 200 level many, many years ago. He was about getting into med school. I was already in 200 level. So he visited me, and then I had a roommate then. You know, when you observed for some days, he came and told me, he said, "Hi, man, you can live with anybody on the earth." That's what he told you. He said, "Man, you can live with anybody on the earth. This is confirmed. You still with this guy?" I said, "Yes, really, I can." Praise God. But it doesn't leave you the same. And the beautiful part is, if you are humble, you learn many things from people like that. In fact, the conversation came up recently. I was telling my wife what I learned from that guy. The things I learned, I articulated them all. That's many years ago. Praise God. But see, once you know that life is not all about you, you will calm down and get built. Imagine, with what he saw and say you can live with anybody, I still knew that I was learning from him. I was that conscious that, look, number one, he came from a more socioeconomic, a higher socioeconomic background than I did. And I learned a whole lot of things about the higher class from him. A whole lot. And that meant a lot to me. Amen. At that time, his parents were millionaires. Mine went. So, I saw it as an opportunity to learn. I learned many things about how people behave at a particular class. Are you here? Can you see that? So, I could look beyond the excesses and get what I knew I could get. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, so I said, if you want your life to amount to something serious, you will learn to spend a lot of time alone. You will learn that ego soars solo. I think it was Leonard Raven who says it. He said, eagles are solo, prophets walk alone. Listen, on the path of destiny, you learn to spend a lot of time alone. Even when you have roommates, you have spouse, you're a family person, you learn to withdraw from time to time to spend. Your life cannot always be your own phone activity. You are with someone, you are doing this. No. Learn the value of spending long time. Sometimes just to think. Other times just to reflect. Other times just to speak in tongues, just to pray. Some other times just to learn without the interference of a man, of a woman. Are you here? What I said, I never forget it. You learn to spend a lot of time alone. And I didn't say some time, a lot of time. Every creative genius will tell you that. Any productive leader will tell you that. Amen. And you see, the earlier you learn this, the better. And for those of you who are married, if both of you are here, you are hearing it now. If your spouse is not here, you have to carry them along. Every human needs this space. Needs this space. Time, quality time alone. This is where you release creative energy. Have it together. And like I told you earlier, it's beyond prayer. I'm not just talking about time alone to pray. No, you are thinking. Have you noticed that when you live with people and everybody has gone out and you're alone, okay, just moving around and praying and thinking, there's a clarity of thought. There's a clarity. And then the converse too, when you have stayed alone for too long, you need people. Do you understand? There just has to be a balance. But well, my talk is used, learn to spend a lot of time alone. A lot of time alone. Meditation. I thought I finished. Meditation. Let me see how fast I can go on that. Whoever was stopped today. Meditation is a vital practice. You must pay attention to this second half. Listen, you can write it down. Maybe I'll have to stop here. We'll continue next week. This is how you reimagine yourself according to the word of God for you, or the word of God to you. Amen. Remember, when we say your goals, you already have a title deed from the word, right? You have an oath or promise. Praise God. But see, that oath or promise is not enough. You sit down and use it to reimagine yourself. Look up at me, everyone. This is where you challenge subconscious programming that against the goals you have set, that against the vision you have set for the second half of the year. Listen, that you set a vision, that you set goals and have goals to accomplish doesn't mean they will happen. If your subconscious mind does not support them, it doesn't matter the outward activities, they will never happen. I'll have time next week to teach you about aligning your conscious mind with your subconscious mind. Listen, this is so powerful. This is so powerful that at every time T, your subconscious mind will always trump your logic. Always. Always. It will always trump what you are even trying to say. Except you are saying it to change the subconscious mind. That means you truly get what you want in your subconscious mind, not what you say you want. And this is what leads to what we call self-sabotage. A lot of people are living there. They are saying, oh, this is what we're going to do. We're going to accomplish this. And they are laboring on the outside. And time passes, nothing happens. Why? Their subconscious mind does not. This is so powerful. If I tell you some stories, you'll be amazed. There's a woman who had an earning that shouldn't make her poor, but she was poor. Had little to nothing. So when interview was done and they were asking her questions, you know why? When she was a child, her father and her mother had a fight. Serious fight. And why? About money. Not physical. They were just quarreling and shouting. And money was saying, it was money. That money I gave you. Money. And the man fell down, had a heart attack and died. She was a little girl. She associated money with pain. So it doesn't matter that she was making money. She would dispense it subconsciously, thinking if the money is not here, there will not be pain. As an adult, you say that's not logical. I told you, your subconscious programming will trump logic anytime, any day. Anytime, any day. Next week, I'll tell you a lot of stories. You respond to life from that place. So when the Bible teaches meditation, it's actually for our good. It's for our good. This is where you apply the law of selective conception. This is how you select what you want and reprogram your inner man to support your dreams and visions. This is how it happens. If you carry a pastor who can only pastor 100 people and you send him to go on a church of 1,000, he will do everything subconsciously to reduce that church to 100. Is a law. It doesn't matter what effort is put in, what strategy he has written down. This is what we're going to do to even grow this church to 2,000. He'll do everything subconsciously because that inner programming will unconsciously affect his actions that he doesn't even know. Then he'll be restless until the church reduces to 100. He'll now rest. Brothers and sisters, the same thing with money. If your inner financial thermostat is organized at 1 million, if we give you 10 million, you will do everything until it reduces to 1 million. Once it gets to 1 million, you rest. Now, this is very serious. This is very serious. Do you know how many Christians receive prophetic words globally? From very anointed people? Amen. Including Dr. Caris, anointed Dr. Caris. Under the power, words are spoken. But see, if that reprogramming doesn't happen in the subconscious, depending on the area, those words are wasted. I've learned that. Somebody say, how did your life change? My life changed when this man laid hands on me. Question you ask is, this man laid hands on many people. Why have they not returned with testimony? It's more than the hands that were laid. The hands laid were important. But see, if there is no internal environment to sustain the manifestation of what was communicated, they return back to where they were before. Are you here? There are some of you, wealth makes you scared. You may be shouting prosperity. When you think of 10 million, you are afraid. In your mind, you say, Kai, somebody will kidnap me. Kai, what if I fail? Kai, many reasons. It's coming from a programming that must be challenged to strategic meditation. Are you blessed? Now, it's through this instrument of meditation that you reconfigure your inner man. That's the first thing that happens. A major blessing of this meditation. That means, you see, when you have goals and vision, let's say financially, for example, you are saying your target income for the year, or you are saying before the end of the year, your net worth should be 50 million, for example. I'm speaking finance now. Your net worth should be 50 million. Okay. It's not enough to say it. The most important person in that goal is you. That means you must reorganize your internal environment to support the personality of a person with a net worth of 50 million. That's just $100,000. Are we together? If that is not done, if they give you 50 million, it will reduce to your current internal programming. It will reduce. It will. This is why the African reasoning of superstition over knowledge, superstition over inside-out transformation can never produce global leaders. He can't. He can't. When things go wrong, the first thing we think about is a witch in the village. That's terrible. I'm not saying, of course, you know here, we understand those things. But a lot of times, the things that happen are a manifestation of internal programming. Inward programs that were programmed there through the things you heard growing up. Your father told you money does not grow on trees. Do I look like money to you? We don't have, me and your father, we are poor. You heard those things growing up. You may be saying, no, I'll not be poor. If you didn't say it well enough, oh my goodness. There are programs running within you. You went to the park. You were in a taxi with AC. They now called the price with your father. When they told him the price, he couldn't pay. You saw them carry your father's bag into a bus that sat 18 people. You relocated to the bus to travel to Enugu or to travel to Lagos. A program was happening that told you that certain things was for certain people. You have to reprogram. Reprogram. Have it together. You have to delete all programs and begin a new one. Using the medium of meditation, the word of God being the material. Are you here? Are you still here? I'm sure you know this story. Wonderful story. This lady was married to a man who was successful. But she was a waster of money. She didn't have money. She put her hand in things that don't work. When sessions like this, questioning, okay, where am I coming from? The house she grew up in, as a child, every time she went to her mom to collect money to buy maybe ice cream or all that, you know what the mom would tell her? I don't have money. Your daddy has all the money. Go and meet him. Every time she went to her dad gave her money. She grew up like that. When she got married, in her mind, she told women are not to have money. It's the husband that should have money. It's default too. It doesn't mean she was not doing business. I told you, people don't make money from business. You don't make money from career. Somebody say, if I can only start a business, my story will change. You will start, you will fail, you will come back. If you don't challenge the internal programming, things don't change. Good jobs cannot make you rich. No. You must be rich on the inside first. You must change that configuration until you are big on the inside and you begin to carry the ambience of a wealthy person, of a successful person, are we together, of a great person. This is what the word of God does. This is why we talk about meditation on the word. Once it gets into your subconscious, it reconfigures things. Real life story. Hearing her mother say, well, your dad has all the money, go and meet him, let him give you money. As a lady, she grew up thinking it's only fathers and husbands that should have money. And the reverse side was she became a spender of money. Amen. Nothing works. Are you here? Are you blessed? So, meditation. Meditation. Take out time to meditate on your goals and the word the Lord has given you concerning your goals. Are we together? Sing them. When we say meditation is simple, your mouth talking and your mind seeing pictures. Do you understand? Your mouth talking and your mind seeing pictures. Write it down. Meditation simply means your mouth talking and your mind seeing pictures. Okay? Your mouth talking and your mind seeing pictures. And you sit there. Listen, it is work. When you start, you have mental block. Your head will be blocked somehow. No, sit there. Continue. Use your mouth. Continue saying it. Sometimes you have to say it in the past tense. Oh, and in the second half of 2021, we got so blessed as a ministry. Our attendance more than doubled. What a year it was. We saw new people coming to church. People we didn't know. Different categories of people. Wealthy people, average people, even those who didn't have so much. But as they came and heard the word, they were transformed. We had to move out of Korunjo House. We had to move Sunday service out of Korunjo House. Because we were so big, the place couldn't take us. Money began to come in tens of millions, in hundreds of millions, in billions. People were giving us properties. Second half of 2021, it was so beautiful. It was so precious. The kind of miracles we began to see at Glory Zone was alarming. Testimonies coming every day, every moment. Blind eyes seeing, people getting jobs, people getting contracts. We saw people looking for money becoming millionaires. Those were the kind of things we saw in the second half of 2021. I am meditating. Our brethren began to prosper. Even those who were students, we saw them handling millions. Second half of 2021. You see, past tense, it automatically is doing something to my mind. So you can tailor it to the different areas of your life. Are we together? Can I shock you? This is where real life happened to. And you stay there thinking. You know, your brain has two parts. There is the imagination part, which is the one that is most useful in the first part of meditation. But see, there's a logical part. So that logical part will now tell you, how do you think you're going to do this thing? It will tell you all the things against you. That's the logic. But see, by the time you make it into past tense, that takes me to the next thing I want to say about this. You see, you stay in meditation until you crack all those questions, all those difficulties. If you say, how is it going? But the Lord gave me a word now. That's where it began from. And the Lord showed me the strategy. That's where it started from. Do you understand? And then you begin to counter those questions, number one. Then number two, you are sitting there in meditation and thinking through all the likely difficulties that will come. By the time we moved church out to this place, we needed to transport people because it was a little far. I have thought about it. And then you are thinking, okay, that's new budget for this one. People needed to be retrained. Do you understand? That means when you're thinking about the business increasing, all the likely problems that will come from the increase, you thought about it in the meditation.
Yes, sir.
This completes the circle of meditation. If you don't do this part, your mind will tell you it's a lie. But see, by the time you sit there and sit through, this is why you can come out of meditation rejoicing. You know, in that Joshua 1:8, there's a word there I will underline for you. Actually, three words. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your heart, out of your mouth, right? But you shall meditate therein the day and night. Watch this before you are successful. He said that thou mayest observe to do. If you truly meditated, there are things you observe. Meaning there are things that will come to you. There are thoughts that will come to you. There are instruction. There are insight. That's about wisdom. Thank you. Wisdom comes to you. There's observation. It's not just blank thing. Okay, you are not going. No. You are thinking. I just mentioned it to you. You are not seeing the problems that can come when this business expands. You're observing. You see there and thoughts start coming to you. Okay, for these things I've confessed now. Thoughts are coming to you. Take this step. Okay. Get this thing done. So once something is on your mind, a dear man of God said this and he blessed me years ago. You see, once something is on your mind, everything around you starts speaking to you. Everything around you, literally. It was said that Pastor Matthew Ashimolo, at the beginning of ministry, he had prayed and fasted and meditating on a great ministry in Europe, in UK. You know what happened? He was flying to Atlanta or to New York. He was watching, in the airplane, he watched the movie Sister's Act. And the idea that exploded KICC came to him by watching Sister's Act. He saw a connection between music and church. And the church exploded to become then the largest church in Western Europe. Amen. In London. So that's that end-to-end meditation. As you are thinking about it, you are cracking things. You are cracking things. It's not vague. It makes it crystallize in your soul. Are you blessed tonight? Rise up with a shout. Oh dear. Thank you, Lord. Can we have the communion? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Speak in tongues. Bless the name of the Lord. Thank you. Father, we thank you. Can you hurry up? Thank you, Lord. Have you been blessed tonight? Did you learn something? It will be unfair not to pray. Close your eyes, lift your hands. Establish your heart in the truth you have heard. And you can do that. Zovra Paktile Nogosile Manahaya.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.faithfulmovement.com. theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.